The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, and a whole lot of education. And as we always say, no manipulation, because we're not trying to sell you something. We're not trying to con you. We're not going to ask you to join up, fess it up, give it up, nothing like that. But we will ask you to listen. Listen as I try to verify and identify God's plan for your life by taking a deep dive into the Scriptures. If we can do this, then you have the freedom to orient and adjust to the plan. It's always up to you. So thank you for listening. I have a couple of things to say before we get started. First of all, we have a new book about to come out called The Spiritual Life of the Christian. The Christian Spiritual Life. It's a wonderful new book we've worked on for quite a while now. I think you'll enjoy it. You'll be able to order it as soon as you want to. We should have it printed by the end of the summer. And hope you'll take advantage of it and get it, The Christian Spiritual Life. It deals with, you know, if I ask you, how's your physical life going? You might say, well, I got a toothache, or I broke my toe, or my arm hurts. But then if I say, how's your spiritual life going? A lot of people don't know how to respond to that. What do you mean, my spiritual life? I'm talking about the life you live as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the part nobody else can see, the spiritual life, not the physical life. So the new book deals with your spiritual life and what it consists of and how it functions and operates. And one other thing I want to say, I haven't said it in a long time, but there is another website that confuses people when you try to contact us. There's a gentleman in Georgia who has a website called RichardHughesMinistries.org. That is not me. I am not RichardHughesMinistries.org. I'm very close to that. I'm RickHughesMinistries.org. I don't know how this happened or where it came from, but that's been getting people confused lately. I had somebody try to say, I'm making an online donation to your ministry. Is this you? We don't have online donations. We don't accept online donations. I'm not to say we don't accept contributions if you want to make them, but we don't request them. We don't ask for them. And we don't have an online donation site. So our website is simply RickHughesMinistries.org, not Richard Hughes Ministries. That's another individual. Okay, enough said. Now, you might remember last week that we were talking about knowing God's will for your life. We went into that quite a bit, talked about it quite a bit, so please allow me to expand on that subject this morning. And by the way, we have started now on our 21st year of broadcasting The Flatline on radio shows across America. Currently, we're broadcasting on 126 radio stations across this great nation and even in Alaska and the Philippine Islands. Okay, now let's go. Does God have a specific plan for your life? Does He? Yes. I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture that you should be familiar with. A lot of people know it. And then I'll try to explain it to you. This is Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. This statement by God through the prophet Jeremiah was made to those who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem. The northern kingdom, it called Israel, had already been conquered by the Assyrian Empire in 722 B.C., and the 10 tribes that made up that northern kingdom had been lost into history and disappeared. But the other two tribes, known as Judah, the southern tribes, were conquered in 580 B.C. by the Babylonian kingdom, under the rule of who's known as Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, around 5,000 inhabitants of Judah, the southern kingdom, were carried into captivity. And it was Jeremiah and Ezekiel who exposed the sin Judah had committed that caused this to happen. And this is way too much history to teach here and for us to understand in our short time. So let's focus on that one passage, Jeremiah 29:11. God's word to those in exile from Judah was to prepare for a long stay in Babylon. It wasn't going to be 1 year, it wasn't going to be 2 years, it was going to be 70-year exile designated to discipline them. And once they recovered from their sin and turned back to God, he would eventually return them to their promised land. This verse that I just read to you, Jeremiah 29:11, however, is not about God guaranteeing personal prosperity. However, there is a fundamental truth found in this verse, and that truth is this. Listen carefully. God is not mad at you. He's not mad at you. In fact, God loves you, and he only desires the best for you. And the scriptures plainly declare God's will for your life, starting with 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I'll read it to you. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some people count slackness, but is long-suffering," that key word, long-suffering towards us, "not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So there is a plan for your life. He doesn't want you to perish in the lake of fire. He wants you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior. And to prove that, he is long-suffering. This Greek word, long-suffering, is pronounced makrothumia, the way it's pronounced in the Greek, makrothumia. And it's a word for divine patience. If you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as your Savior, then every day you are alive is God demonstrating his patience for you, his love for you, by giving you time to change your mind about the person of Christ and to trust only him for your forgiveness and eternal salvation. Remember, excuse me, time does not shout. It just runs out much sooner than you think. So never doubt God's love for you. He's patient with you. He's long-suffering towards you. He's waiting on you so you won't perish in the lake of fire. He demonstrated this love by sending his Son to pay the penalty for our sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible clearly says the one who knew no sin was in fact made sin for us, so that we could be made the righteousness of God through him. That's the wonderful way that God demonstrated his divine patience towards you and his love for you in allowing his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sin. Yep, God has a plan to give us a future. As it states in Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and to give you hope and a future." His plan for you offers prosperity, safety, and security for your life. I mean, who else besides God would give you whatever you need to sustain your life free? Matthew 6:31-33, listen to this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear, for all these things the Gentiles seek after." That's the lost people, the unbelievers. "For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added to you." That's another guarantee rooted in his love for you. He will make sure you have food, shelter, and clothing. The only thing God asks of you is that you become a member of his kingdom. I'm confident God intends for us to be productive citizens of heaven, aren't you? Even though we're still here on planet Earth, his desire is for us to be productive citizens of heaven. That's his will for your life. Philippians 3:20. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have an identity identified as a citizen of heaven. And there is a plan for you. God intends for you to be productive citizens of heaven, even though you're still here. So the question I'm asking this morning is, what does God require from you? If you're going to be a productive citizen of heaven, what does he want you to do? In order to understand that, let's look at Paul's challenge to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, we read these words. "It's for this reason that we also, since the day we heard about it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, I'm sure this can apply to us as well. So let's look at the specifics of this prayer that Paul prayed for the people in Colossae. He said, first of all, he's praying that they would what? Be filled with the knowledge of His will. That translates into knowing God's will for your life. Where does He want me to be? What does He want me to think? And what does He want me to say? And this is accomplished by acquiring two things, he said. I'll read it to you again. Listen carefully. We pray for you and ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will. Here comes the two things now. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. By acquiring wisdom and spiritual understanding. If these conditions are fulfilled, then the believer, the Christian, he goes on to say that you will walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, I could stop right here and teach many, many hours on each one of these intentions of Paul for the believers in Colossae, but let's start with what? Filled with the knowledge of His will. The key to understanding what Paul is suggesting is the word knowledge. Normally, this Greek word would be pronounced gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. However, it is not the word used here. In this instance, he uses another word called epignosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. These are two different words. Epignosis. Epi means full, not partial. Information heard and understood. The word epignosis, information heard and understood and applied. You have to apply it. In other words, a Christian can go to church, listen to the sermon, listen to the Flatline, listen to some preacher on the radio, but unless the information is believed and applied, then it's of no advantage to the listener. It's just gnosis. It's just knowledge. And I've run into a lot of people that can quote Scripture. They know Scripture. They can quote verses. They don't apply what they know. To understand God's will for your life and my life, we need something called wisdom. That's what this verse says. Should I read it again? Filled with the knowledge of His will by acquiring wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wisdom is contained in the Scriptures. That's where it comes from. Why are the Scriptures wisdom? Because they are the mind of Christ. Here, listen to 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, so that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There it is, right there. The Scriptures are the mind of Christ. What's written in the Bible is the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul equates the wisdom of the Scriptures to what he calls spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is a reference to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Spiritual is the Greek word pneumatikos, and it's a descriptive adjective referring to the insight that comes through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. This is an amazing thing that Jesus promised about this. Listen to what He said concerning the insights and the wisdom that will come from the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, but the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance He will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. This is referring to spiritual understanding. He will teach you and bring to your remembrance everything I said to you. In Proverbs 2:10-11, listen for the word wisdom here. When wisdom enters your heart, that's when you respond to what you heard and you book it and you live it. And knowledge becomes pleasant to your soul, that's the quest for understanding God's will. Then discretion will preserve you, you'll be careful, and understanding will keep you. We call that the Fantastic Four. Wisdom, knowledge, discretion, and understanding. In this particular passage in Proverbs 2, it's clear an understanding which comes from the Holy Spirit will keep you from self-destruction. Without gnosis becoming epinosis, through the filling of the Holy Spirit, you and I would have no chance to be a productive citizen of heaven as long as we're on this earth. So this is what God's will is for your life. Now let's finish that verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That you may walk, this is what he's praying for, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is God's will for your life right here in print, that you would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So let's start with the word walk, that you would walk. What does that mean? That's the Greek word for walk is pronounced peripateo. Peripateo. It's a verb, and it refers to their lifestyle that they live, the lifestyle that they enjoy. In this case, in the Greek New Testament, this verb is in the imperative mood, which is technically is a command from God through the Apostle Paul. The demand is to live a lifestyle worthy. The Greek word axios, A-X-I-O-S, worthy, means to live a life worthy of the calling that they received. What does that mean? It means showing qualities that merit recognition from God. We'll find out about that at the judgment seat of Christ, whether we're awarded for the way we lived or not. And that's not about being awarded for not sinning. Will you be rewarded for living the spiritual life? Did you produce divine good or did you produce human good? Remember, you can do a right thing in a wrong way, and I've given you the illustration hundreds of times, for example, prayer. You think God's impressed just because you pray? Remember, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if you have unconfessed sin in your life, and you try to pray, what you've done is you've quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit. He cannot fulfill His ministry for you, according to Romans, and so that prayer is unproductive. So you have to remember that. And that would mean that all those wonderful, sweet, eloquent prayers you prayed in the public, in front of the church, in front of the Sunday school class, they never got heard and they never got answered because you prayed it while you were out of fellowship. You were doing a right thing, but you did it in the wrong way. By that I mean you did it in the energy of the flesh, not under the filling of the Holy Spirit. The flesh can do good things. The flesh can be very moral, very nice, very godly type, acting type person. Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah, God. Oh, I love Jesus. And the whole time, the sin nature can be controlling your life because of unconfessed sin in your life. So that word walk and Greek word worthy means to live a life worthy of the calling that God gave them. We're citizens of heaven. While we're here, we need to be worthy of the calling that He gave us. We need to show the qualities that merit recognition. Paul gave the exact same challenge to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 4, verse 1. He said, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to do what? To walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. It's Paul's desire that all believers, you, me, and everyone who reads this New Testament, live a lifestyle worthy of recognition and honor from God. And as I said, that will be determined at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. If you haven't read it before, write that verse down. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15, it talks about the judgment seat of Christ. These are not unbelievers, these are believers. And they're being evaluated based on production. Some of what they did is called wood, hay, and stubble. Unproductive, burned up as rubble. The other is gold, silver, and precious stones, very productive and rewarded. Whenever you do something for God in the filling of the Holy Spirit, then that is gold, silver, and precious stone. If you do it in the energy of the flesh, it's wood, hay, and stubble. So let's say you decide to give some money to your church, and you give it out of fellowship. You have hatred in your heart for your neighbor. You've cheated on your income tax. You've lied to your spouse. But yet you gave some money to the church, and you think that knocks your credit with God. It did not. It's called wood, hay, and stubble. Anything you did while you were out of fellowship, anything you did for God, claiming that it was going to glorify God, is not worthy of any reward or recognition. It's just going to be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Two characteristics of that particular lifestyle are found in Colossians 3:23. Listen carefully. Here's the worthy lifestyle. I give you two characteristics of it. One of them's in Colossians. Well, both of them are in Colossians, really. Here's the first one, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So that's your motivation. Why do you do what you do? Do it to the Lord and not to men. You're not here to impress men, you're here to impress God and to walk worthy of His calling as a noble citizen of heaven. The only way you can do these things is according to Colossians 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, the ones that are unbelievers, redeeming the time. Walking in wisdom towards the unbelievers is a very interesting thing. Because as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're being observed 24/7. And if you are a Christian and you're doing things that are unchristian-like, and an unbeliever sees you, then he tries to justify his life by saying, well, I'm as good as they are. I know what they do. They claim to be a Christian. They go to church. They're a big member down there, and I know what they do. I'm just as good as they are. And see, he justifies why he doesn't have to believe in Christ, because he looked at you and saw that you are not living worthy of what God called you to do. So this verse says, walk in wisdom towards those that are outside, unbelievers. Be very careful around them. And then he says, redeeming the time. And again, I told you that time doesn't shout, it just runs out sooner than you think. So God expects you to be redeeming the time, not wasting the time. There's nothing wrong with having a hobby. I used to love to bass fish when I was able to do it. Loved to get in my boat and fish at night and night tournaments, things like that. And I wasn't wasting time. I enjoyed it. But wasting time is something, if you get into something that's not necessary, something that's non-profitable for God, and you can waste a lot of time. You need to redeem the time. Time is short. Redeeming the time, you could be using that time to study the Scripture. You could use that time to pray. You could use that time to evangelize, whatever you want to do. But be very careful to redeem the time and don't waste it. Don't go bebopping uptown thinking, oh, I'm going to go to the grocery store and miss an opportunity that God puts right in front of you. Because there may be someone there that day looking for salvation and you could be the person that could give it to them. In our passage in Colossians 1:10, Paul then challenged them to be fruitful. Or to bear fruit, and that meant to be productive, to reproduce. The Bible clearly says a fruit tree that does not reproduce is not worthy of any recognition. In Matthew 3:10, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As well as Matthew 7:16. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. So, obviously, God wants you to bear fruit. Yeah. Part of being found worthy is your willingness to spread the gospel and by doing so to reproduce the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and hopefully to bring others to Him. To lift him up, he promised, he said, if you'll lift me up, I'll draw people to myself. And that's our job. You can do that just by having a public prayer. And when you're out with your family, do you bow your head and say the blessing? Part of being found worthy is your willingness to spread the gospel. Finally, the challenge is then, once again, to increase in the knowledge of God. That was the last part of verse 10 of Colossians 1. So how can you serve God you don't understand? Not only does God want you to know Him, but He wants you to understand Him. Jeremiah 9:24 tells you that. So you could start by learning the essence of God, which is the study of His being and His attributes. For example, He is sovereign, He's righteous, He's justice, He's love, He's eternal life, He's omniscience. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's immutable. He's veracity. Now, I could teach, hours on each one of those characteristics of God. But this is something you need to understand, because this is part of the faith rest drill. You can't claim what you don't know and don't understand. So I encourage you to start by learning the essence of God. If you need to know what it is, write to me through the website and we'll get it back to you, outline it for you so you'll understand the essence of God. So finally, we have the word knowledge. That's the last word there. Knowledge. Again, it's the same word, epinosis, full or complete knowledge. And that means that which is believed and that which is acted upon. So, that means do you believe and do you obey? Consider what you've heard this morning. I pray you'll put it to practice in your life. There's more to living the Christian life than just hearing somebody preach about it. It's applying what you learned into your life. It's a wonderful opportunity that God's given me to be with you. I'm so grateful for the 20-plus years. I pray God will give me more time to give you what's in my heart and that you'll listen. You'll find that well-qualified pastor and you'll get under his authority and you'll start to grow and reproduce the Lord Jesus Christ in your own personal life. If you'd like to get that book on the Christian spiritual life, get in touch with us, let us know, and we'll be sure you get a copy of it. Okay? And there is another book that we talked about last week, and I'll give you a little insight on that too. Get in touch with me if you'd like to know what it means to have divine guidance. I can refer you to where you can get that book. Okay? Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It won't be long, just 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education. But all of it will be done without any type of manipulation, because we're not going to con you. We're not going to ask you for money. We're not going to ask you to join up, fess up, give up, nothing like that. But we will ask you to listen up. Listen to me as I try to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if it's possible, if I can do that, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan if you want to do so. It's really up to you. But within the last few months, we've added many new radio stations to our broadcast coverage. Many, like yourself, are hearing the Flatline for the first time. Flot, F-L-O-T, is the name of the radio show, and some people may just change the station due to the content, and others, hopefully, you will be intrigued and stick around. Let me be honest with you up front. I have two simple objectives. My first objective is to give you the truth of the gospel message. So many people, so many individuals believe in God, but they do not know if they're actually going to heaven when their time on earth comes to an end. There's tremendous confusion and doubt brought about by failure to teach the scriptures accurately in regards to this message of eternal salvation. Let me tell you, there's no reason for you to doubt your salvation according to the scriptures. Listen to what John wrote in his first epistle. In 1 John 5:13, this is 1 John 5:13, not the book of John, but 1 John. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Notice he did not say you may hope you have eternal life. He said you may know that you have eternal life. And what did he say are the conditions in order to know you have eternal life? Answer that question. Well, in 1 John 5:11-12, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. There it is, in his Son. He who has not the Son has not life, and he who has the Son of God has eternal life. Could not be any more simple than that. So the question that you have to ask yourself is, how do I acquire Jesus Christ? In John 1:12, but as many as received him, those are the ones that he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Believe in his name. Didn't say join up, fess up, give up. It said believe in his name. The Lord Jesus Christ made it plain in those words that he recorded in John 6:40. And this is the will of the one that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him, there it is again, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. After the resurrection, our Lord ascended into heaven. So rest assured you won't see him again until his return for the church, which is you and me, the bride of Christ. But the fact still remains, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God? Do you believe he's the Savior of the world by his death, burial, and resurrection on that cross? Here's what he said in John 6:47. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Could it be any more simple than that? You can spend the rest of your days on earth trying to earn forgiveness for your sins, but it simply will not work. The Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians 2:8-9, where he wrote, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. So please consider what I've said and believe in Christ's finished work on that cross and his glorious resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Paul wrote, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Nowhere will you find any requirement to walk down an aisle, to raise your hand, to join up, fess up, or any other religious demand in order to be saved. So I encourage you to tell God in your own words that you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in his anointed Son, you believe he died as your substitute, and you would like to receive him as your Savior. Why do I encourage you to do that? Because Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can do that right now, my friend. You can do that listening to my voice over this radio show. You can bow your head right now and simply pray a small prayer. Father, I believe Christ died for me and I want to accept him as my Savior. That's all it takes. Your faith, God said it, you believe it. My second objective is to find those of you listening who are hungry to learn from the Scripture just what God expects out of you. Now that you've become a member of God's royal family. Many years ago, I can't tell you how many years ago, probably about 1975. That's many years ago, 50 years ago. I was speaking in schools across South Georgia. I ran into an individual who had received Christ as his Savior, but was having a difficult time understanding the Bible. So let me tell you how it all happened, because it is rather humorous. It's the story of meeting my precious friend, Harold Allen. I was in town speaking in schools, and I had my bow and arrow with me because at that time I was an archery person. I did a lot of tournament archery. And I saw a sign that said, Indoor Archery Range. So I drove over to where the indoor archery range, and it was a sawdust floor, and it had just some old hay bales down at the end of a shooting lane. And I could pay $2 and go down there and shoot all I wanted to at targets and practice. So he watched me shoot for a little while, and he said, well, you're pretty good. I said, what are you doing in town? You got a tournament? I did not know at the time that he himself was an archer and an extremely great hunter. Well, I didn't want to tell him that I was there teaching Bible studies. I thought maybe that would turn him off. But I did. I said, well, to tell you the truth, I'm here teaching some Bible studies. He looked at me with a strange look on his face, and he said, Bible studies? And I said, yes, sir. He said, just a minute. And Mr. Allen, Mr. Harold Allen, who's with the Lord today, he walked in the back of that shop, came back up front up to the little counter, laid out a wrinkled up piece of paper, and said, can you answer any of these questions? And I looked at it, and they were all questions about the Bible. And I said, well, which one do you want me to answer? He said, start with the first one. So I did, and answered the first, then the second, then the third, and then finally he said, that's enough. He got on the phone, and he called a guy named Woody. He said, Woody, get over here, I think I found him. Come to find out, Harold and Woody had believed in Christ on their own, reading the Bible. But Harold, having a bait shop and selling worms and crickets and minnows and fishing lures and stuff like that, whenever someone would come in that he thought might be a preacher, he would ask him, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And nobody could give him a straight answer. The end result was I gave him straight answers, just like I'm giving to you today. He called his wife and he said, I'm not going to be home tonight. I'm going to a Bible study. She was shocked. Carolyn said, what kind of Bible study? He said, I don't know. The guy answered the questions. That was the beginning of a lifelong friendship between me and Harold Allen and his precious wife, Carolyn. And that happened, like I said, about 1975. I call this type of hunger for insight to the Word of God positive volition. This is what I'm searching for as I broadcast my show, The Flatline, across the many radio stations that we air on. Simply put it this way, unless you learn how to live the spiritual life, by the way, I have a new book that's just coming out. You can get it free of charge by ordering it from our website. It's called The Christian Spiritual Life. So unless you learn how to live the Christian spiritual life, you will just wind up producing what the Bible calls wood, hay, and stubble, as per 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15. The reason for that is many believers just simply do not understand the God they know. They know Him, they know God, but they don't understand the God they know. They faithfully attend church every Sunday, but they never really get taught the mechanics to the Christian life. And that's what we do on this radio show. We explain the mechanics to the Christian life. So let's focus on the word walk, W-A-L-K. This word is used extensively in the New Testament as a metaphor for the believer's lifestyle. So let's take one passage in Colossians and break it down. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Paul the Apostle wrote these words to the church in Colossae during his imprisonment while he was in Rome. See, they had been confronted by some false teachers who came into town, trying to recruit them, and these teachers were known to be teachers of a philosophy known as Gnosticism. Gnosticism. This type of teaching assigned to Christ a place subordinate to the true Godhead and undervalued His completeness of His redemptive work. It was an outright attack on the gospel, which Satan's strategy tried to stop the spread of Christianity. Without Paul's defense of the gospel in this letter, many would have been led astray. But there's no doubt believers in Colossae had been saved. Listen to the first words. Are you therefore, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. I read that to you. Now listen to the next verse. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Wow. All right. What did he say? As you have been taught. We received Christ by faith, and now we're established by faith, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. There it is again. In other words, we trusted the written word of the Scriptures and conformed to what it said in order to be saved, which you did, I trust. And so now the next thing you got to trust or have faith in is what the Lord Jesus said concerning their future lives. I produced a book last year entitled These Things. These Things. Funny name for a book, I know, but it listed all the major concepts or all the major doctrines that he gave the disciples the very last night he spent with them. It covers John chapter 13 to John 15:11. Perhaps you should order it and learn what it means to walk in him. Don't forget the word walk refers to your lifestyle, which is referring to your spiritual life. The new book we got coming out, The Christian Spiritual Life. So there's two books you can order free of charge, The Christian Spiritual Life and These Things, all from our website, rickhughesministries.org. Go to the website and order them. They're free. You'll see, and you can order them right there. Now, Paul went on to say in verse 7 of this passage in Colossians, they have been rooted and built up in him. Rooted in him is the salvation experience, and built up in him is the spiritual growth process. He said, you've been established in the faith, and that refers to the solid, sound teaching they had received from Epaphras, their pastor. As you were taught, he said. Notice Paul said they were abounding and overflowing with appreciation. So here are some principles we can extrapolate out of this short verse. Number one, Epaphras probably had been led to Christ by Paul while he was in the town of Ephesus. And we assume he went back to Colossae and started a local church, teaching what he learned from Paul. In Colossians 4:12, Paul mentions Epaphras again. He said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, so that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. So, one, Epaphras was probably led to Christ by Paul. Two, Paul's challenge to them was that they not be recruited by the Gnostics into their false teaching. He'd be very careful about that. And three, every Christian, every believer, must be rooted and grounded in the basic essentials of the Christian faith. It's necessary. Every Christian must be rooted and grounded in the basic essentials of the Christian faith. If they hope to glorify Jesus Christ at all with their spiritual lifestyle. Number four, most important thing for you to grasp is eternal security, because that gives you confidence in God's plan for your life. The second is how to maintain fellowship with God by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's surprising how many believers don't understand the difference between their relationship with God and their fellowship with God. Next, the Bible talks about keep walking in Christ. And that requires momentum, spiritually speaking. Taking in the Word of God on a daily basis. Consistently learning and applying what you've heard. If you're in a local church that's not feeding you spiritual food, you'll be malnourished. And you will never grow to be a spiritually mature believer who represents Jesus Christ in his daily life. You know, the believer must first learn how to stand, then how to walk, and eventually how to run in Christ Jesus. There are verses about all of this in the Bible. Would you like to hear them? Here's one. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. You can't walk if you can't stand, can you? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk not by faith, not by sight, but by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. There's walking. And then we come to running in Galatians 5, 7. You were running so well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? That's what you have to do. You have to learn how to walk, stand, and run. That's the objective of my radio show. Hopefully, as we are able to bring these shows to you in the future, you'll be intrigued and encouraged to learn God's Word and apply it into your life and come to understand what the FLOT line means. FLOT stands for Forward Line of Troops, F-L-O-T. That refers to 10 unique problem-solving devices found in the Scripture, which were originally taught to me by my own pastor many years ago. When you learn these 10 unique problem-solving devices, they will form a main line of resistance in your soul, and they will stop the outside sources of adversity before they're able to build up momentum and become the inside source of stress. That being said, adversity is inevitable, as you know, but stress is optional, which you may not know. You do not have to have stress in your life. It's not necessary for you to have stress in your life. You may not realize this, but stress or worry or fear, or these things are sin. And the Bible's clear about that. You cannot operate and glorify God and reproduce the Lord Jesus Christ in your life if you're full of worry and fear, self-pity. These are all stress indicators. That's why we teach those 10 unique problem-solving devices. And the very first one we teach, and you'll hear us refer to it over and over and over again, is the word rebound, R-E-B-O-U-N-D, rebound. That's a word for confessing your known sins to God. It's a metaphor, which means if you bounce out, you bounce back. You bounce out of fellowship with God when you sin. You bounce back in fellowship with God when you rebound. And rebound is taught in 1 John 1:9, among many other verses. It says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all wrongdoing. If is a third-class condition. It means maybe you will and maybe you won't. If we what? If we confess. If we confess our sins. Well, what does it mean to confess your sins? It means to get on your knees and pray and wail and cry and ask God to forgive you? The word confess is a compound verb called homologeo, actually meaning the same to say. Homologeo, the same to say. The word confess means to say the same. So if you confess a sin, you admit the sin. God, I just lied. God, I just lusted. God, I just got mad. God, I just lost my temper. God, I just cheated. Whatever the sin is, if you will name it on the spot, God is faithful and just to forgive you. If you don't name it, you quench the Holy Spirit and you grieve the Holy Spirit and you're out of fellowship with God. You're still in the relationship. You're still God's child and that hasn't gone anywhere. But you definitely are not in fellowship because you have quenched the Holy Spirit. You have grieved the Holy Spirit and you will not be able to live the Christian life successfully until you rebound and get back in fellowship. This is something most Christians have to do every day of their life. If you drive in major cities like Atlanta or Houston or San Antonio or California, you learn how to rebound in traffic because people will do terrible things to you in traffic. I promise you. At least where I live, I'm in the country, so on the way over to my office today, I did not pass not even one single car, so I didn't have to rebound that. But you'll have to rebound constantly throughout the day when you find you committed a sin. Hopefully, as you grow spiritually, you'll get out of committing sin and you'll grow to maturity. And the sins that now so easily beset you will be gone and you'll forget about them. And you'll learn how to live the Christian life, getting victory over sin. Because Paul tells you that your sin nature is dead. You don't have to let it control you anymore. You have a choice. And that choice is you can live by the means of the Holy Spirit. Or you can just go back and let the old sin nature control your life. But if you rebound when you sin, you stop the old sin nature from having any control. If you rebound when you sin, you'll put the Holy Spirit back in control. And that's problem-solving device number one, rebound. It tells you how to be spiritual, not mature, but spiritual. If you're in fellowship, you're spiritual, but you're not necessarily mature. I've said it before, Billy Graham cannot be any more spiritual than you. If he was filled with the Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit, you're both spiritual. But he may be more mature than you if he's got the content of the Word of God in his soul that you don't have. So maturity is based on the content of the Word of God in your soul, and spirituality is based on the filling of the Holy Spirit. I hope you understand that. I hope you'll hang with me because the second problem-solving device is the filling of the Holy Spirit. That solves the problem of our genetically formed sin nature. Because the Bible tells us, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and now death is passed on all, for all have sinned, and all have come short of the glory of God. You do not have to let your sin nature control your life, as I said. You can allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. That's why Galatians says, the flesh wars against the Spirit wars against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that we don't do the things we should. And then it goes on to say, if we'll walk in fellowship, we won't have to be allowing the old sin nature to control our life. So don't forget, you're going to have this battle every day of your life. There's never a day going to go by that the sin nature is not going to raise its ugly head and try to take control of your thoughts, try to get you to worry, try to get you to be afraid, try to get you to be angry, try to get you to lust, try to get you to whatever. That's up to you. But when you find that you've failed, when you find you've committed a sin, don't hide it. And don't wait until you go to bed at night. That's silly. Don't say, well, okay, I'm 10 o'clock at night, now let me look back and, oh, yeah, I sinned at 8 o'clock this morning or 9 o'clock this morning. All that means is you've been out of fellowship with God all day long, under control of your sin nature all day long. And now, before you go to bed, you want to get back in fellowship and sleep in fellowship. That's ridiculous. When you sin, confess the sin on the spot immediately. And 1 John 1:9 says he'll be faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You may say, I can't remember every sin. No, neither can I. But even the ones we don't remember, when we name the ones we're aware of, he cleanses us from the others as well. Because that's what that verse says, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't have to worry about that. He knows what you did. He loves you. He cares for you. He gave you his Holy Spirit. He gives you the Bible, the Word. He gives you the instruction on how to live the Christian life. So it's really up to you. That's what this radio show is about. It's about plugging you into what the Christian life is all about and hopefully helping you find a well-qualified pastor in your town. Some of the cities that this show plays in, I know there are great pastors in those towns. And if you don't know where a good pastor is, if you'll contact me through our website, rickhughesministries.org, you can email us from there. And if you want to order the books, you can go there and order the books as well, rickhughesministries.org. If you have a question about where there's a good pastor, we'll try to help you find a great qualified pastor, especially if it's one that I know about close to you. Okay? And there's so many things that we're going to talk about on this radio show. Hopefully, this is just the beginning. Hopefully, you'll come back next week at the same time, same station, same place, and listen, because next week we're going to talk about something entirely different. We're going to talk about why words matter. Why words matter. I love being with you on the radio show. We've just completed 20 years of the Flatline. 20 years of doing this. Maybe God will give us a few more years, I hope. And I hope it for your sake, not for my sake, but for your sake, so that this will be like a window or a door open to you that gives you some information and some answers that you need. I hope to inspire you. I hope to challenge you. And I hope to see you respond and glorify God to the maximum in your life. What a great privilege I have to be able to do this. It's all by grace. Some people ask me, how do you afford this? We just trust God to pay for it. That's how we afford it. They don't give us the time free. We have to purchase the time. And so my associates and I just believe in God's in it. God will pay for it. So we launch out by faith. Right now, by faith, we're broadcasting in 126 stations across this country.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.